Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. You know, Charlton Heston put it best.
Oh my God. We finally really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
That's the end of Planet of the Apes there, where devoted gun owner Charlton Heston realised he's been on Earth all along and that it's wrecked. But such a scenario could be a good news, bad news situation. The bad news, obviously, is that there's been a collapse of global civilization. The good news is that you don't have to go anywhere. Ireland is among the top five countries in the world to survive such a catastrophe, according to a new study. Professor Alad Jones is director of the Global Sustainability Institute at Anglia Ruskin University, and he joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Alad.
Afternoon, Sean.
So in the study, it doesn't really matter, I suppose, what kind of catastrophe has beset the world, or did you have a specific one in mind?
It doesn't really, but we did look at weather and climate change, but also pandemics or financial crisis. So anything could trigger it, but some of the factors we were looking at included climate change.
Right. So in that breakdown, what would be the key factors there? What wouldn't be there anymore, if you like?
Well, what we were looking at is really it's the complex society that we now live in. So it's that interconnectedness of everything globally. So if you shock something in the world, then that shock will propagate through and start collapsing different parts of societies all around the world. So it's really difficult to protect ourselves from an event somewhere else. So that's the sort of thing we're looking at, if you start a collapse somewhere, it's going to go through the world. So are there islands that can protect themselves? Not necessarily islands, or in this case, we did look at different islands. They seem to be the ones that are most able to protect themselves from that collapse.
Yes, and in that top five, everywhere was an island.
Yeah. So one of the factors we were looking at, whether countries had enough land to grow food, enough energy, renewable energy sources or domestic sources of energy, enough manufacturing capacity. One of the factors was isolation. So if you do get collapse going on in other countries, can you protect yourself from your neighbour's collapse?
Now, New Zealand was number one, and there was Iceland, the United Kingdom, Australia, there was specifically Tasmania and ourselves. Was latitude a factor there in terms of particularly in a climate change scenario?
Yeah, so the top 20 countries that we analysed in detail were all chosen from a climate change perspective, so that they had to be not too hot, not too cold, so that, relatively good weather conditions for rainfall, so you can have productive agriculture and things like that. So that was the first factor we did think about.
Yeah, and was there also an element of how much land there was? Oh, I hope that's not your building burning down.
But,
how much land there was in relation to the population so as to be able to continue to feed that population?
Yeah, so we were looking at land per person, and actually Ireland does quite well in that, you've got quite a lot of agricultural land per person. The UK does less well on that, but other places do, differently according to each of those different measures that we put in. So New Zealand does quite well on all the measures.
Yeah, and plus also, as I understand it, New Zealand does particularly well because it's at a pretty advanced stage in terms of generating its own power.
Yeah, so New Zealand has lots of geothermal that's already there. So some countries have already invested and have quite a lot of their own energy production. Others are more integrated into the European grid, but also, it's partly whether you can access the raw materials for your energy. So if you use a lot of coal or a lot of oil, then it's access to the coal mines and the oil fields that you also need. So renewable energy is one thing that makes you domestically more energy secure, because you can get the sun or you can get tidal or wind in your own country. So that's where a bit more production from renewables in some of those countries would increase the resilience.
And the climate of Tasmania, would that be more temperate?
It would be, yeah. So it's a bit more contemporary. You've obviously, Australia is a bit different because you've got a lot of it is desert, and it does get exposed to those extreme weather. So Tasmania, in particular, within Australia, came out quite well.
Yeah. Now, and now you also included Britain, and I would have thought Britain, certainly in terms of the amount of agricultural land against the population, that might be a difficulty for Britain, or was it just because you're there and you didn't want to?
I didn't want to
hope for
anyway.
The best.
Hope for the best. No, actually, that was the lowest score for the UK for Britain and the island is around agriculture. So we do have a lower per person agriculture of the top five. Actually, we're the lowest score on that. And you know, we know we only produce 50% of our own food. But it's also about potential. So there is a potential for us to go for sustainable intensification of food and produce more. But yeah, currently we don't produce enough.
Now, and obviously, I suppose part of the intention here is to focus minds on perhaps what we need for the future, especially things like food reliability, etc. What parts of the world did really badly in your study?
Well, I mean, we only looked at the top 20 in terms of the climate. So this comes out of builds on a study from Notre Dame University that looked at climate change specifically, and they ranked 177 countries. So countries that are really exposed to extreme weather do particularly badly. I mean, what we're trying to highlight is not necessarily which countries come out best, but actually, you know, while countries can be actually physically an island, it's really difficult to disconnect yourself from the rest of the world. So it's up to us as well to try and make sure that other parts of the world are stable, and therefore looking at what makes these shocks more likely and what makes the collapse more likely. How do we build resilience elsewhere so that countries don't collapse? Yes. And then, you know, cascades through the world.
But I would imagine, though, then that there are many countries, there are many regions of the world that need an awful lot of work to get them up to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether that's on food or energy or manufacturing or actually integration into some of the sort of governance, international governance treaties and things that we put in place to better manage our system. But equally, you know, in Britain and in Ireland and in Australia and in New Zealand, we have societies that are just in time. So we're incredibly efficient. So if you really do shock our systems, we're not very good at withstanding those big shocks. Yeah. So it's also about building a bit of slack into the system.
And it's for large or countries with a large landmass like China, Russia, the United States, can you make a generalization about those countries, or is it more certain parts of it might do better than others?
It's certainly true when you look at climate, so certain parts of them do better than others. Certainly, you know, Russia, the northern Russia, the Siberia, which will melt, and southern parts that are, you know, cold, but they will get hotter. So it's easier to do the climate projections on sub-country levels. So that's also true in the US and in China. But we were looking specifically at countries because we felt that that's where governments would look to protect around their borders. But yeah, for climate, it's easy to go, or you need to go below country level. But then you start talking about, you know, in the US, where the states would start to collapse and other states would stay protected or not, which goes in a whole other range of scenarios.
Oh my God, yeah, there's your disaster movie scenario. All right, Alad, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Professor Alad Jones there, Director of the Global Sustainability Institute at Anglia Ruskin University in the UK.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.